Did you know that there are two different kinds of assurance for Christians? Find out all about it in today's broadcast of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us today. I think you're going to be glad that you did. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are leading us through a series on the New Testament book of 1 John. It's a little book with big importance. Now, at the end of the broadcast, I'm going to come back and tell you about a free resource that I want you to have. So stay tuned for that. As for now, let's jump right into the discussion with Dr. Bob and Sean. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
Well, we are continuing our series through 1 John chapter 3. This epistle is all about how to live out that eternal life you get through simply believing in Jesus by faith apart from works. This is all about how to abide in Christ, how to have fellowship with God, how to grow in the potentialities of the eternal life that He gives us. In 1 John 3, 9 to 23, you can break it down into three sections. What love is not, where Cain, who murdered Abel, is a great example of what love is not. In last episode, we went over what love is. That's in verses 16 to 18. And what love is Jesus' example, where He lays down His life for us. And now we're in this last section, what love does for believers, verses 19 to 23. Let me read that, Bob, for us. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. All right. So what love does for believers? What does it do for believers?
Okay. Well, this is a nice conclusion of the ending part of this section. And what he's saying here in 19 through 23, I think 19 and 20 basically go together. We know that we are of the truth. Now, remember, he talked about loving indeed and truth.
Mm-hmm.
So he's picking up on that word truth.
Right.
And basically, he's saying we are of the truth, we are loving indeed and truth, and we shall assure or persuade our heart before Him that if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. I think the basic point in these beginning verses is that many of us have a tendency to be self-condemning,
mm-hmm.
to be a little too hard on ourselves, especially if we're perfectionists.
Right.
And what he's saying here is we need to realize that if we're experiencing feelings that maybe I'm not loving enough, maybe I'm not, you know, Christ-like enough, we ought to stop and realize that we are not the judge. The Lord Jesus Christ is the judge. He knows all things. And so we leave this judgment up to Him. I think this is kind of similar to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, where Paul says, I don't judge before the time.
Mm.
And so what I think what he's saying is, don't let your feelings get the better of you.
Right.
And he goes on to say, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Well, this word confidence is a word we saw in 2:28, is the Greek word parousia. Remember he said, abide in Him so that when He appears, we may have confidence.
Mm-hmm.
This same word appears again in 4:17 about confidence or boldness in our day of judgment, which looks at the judgment seat of Christ. Basically, the point here is that, look, we may have our heart condemning us in terms of a feeling, but we need to get past that, because if we are confessing our sins and walking in the light, 1 John 1:7-9, then we're walking in fellowship with God. And even if we don't feel like we're really that spiritual, as long as we're walking with God, we should have confidence and boldness. And by the way, I think verse 22 brings out that where this is headed to is prayer. Whatever we ask, we receive. Well, that's about prayer, right? We're asking, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments to do the things that are pleasing in His sight. And I'd say there's two things going on there. Number one, God delights in answering the prayers of those who please Him.
Right.
But secondly, don't you think that the way we pray changes if we're walking in fellowship with God?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, instead of praying selfishly, we're praying so that God would bless our brothers and sisters, so that God would bless our children, bless our spouses, bless our friends at church, bless the people we know. So we become a blessing to others because our prayer life is directed in that way.
So in verse 19, when he says, "And by this we know that we are of the truth," we're looking to our behavior, whether we're actually loving our brothers and sisters. That's what the last section is all about.
Right. This is sanctification.
This is sanctification. This is like, if you know that you're of the truth, as if when you see a need, and this is the example he gave in verse 17, you see a brother or sister in need, and you have the means to help this world's goods. If you actually do help, then you know that you're of the truth. But this is, again, you know that you're in the sanctification mode of things.
Exactly. Are we walking in fellowship with God?
And this, by the way, is a very different kind of assurance than the assurance that you can have of your eternal salvation. Because the only condition to be born again is to believe in Jesus for eternal life. And so the only grounds for assurance is that Jesus is going to be faithful to his promise. Therefore, you can be absolutely certain.
What you just said there is probably foreign to a lot of our listeners.
Right. So salvation doesn't depend on you. Salvation is apart from works. It has nothing to do with you. You just believe in Jesus for this free gift, Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. He gives you the salvation. And so your assurance that he gives you the salvation has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with his faithfulness. So it's like your assurance is totally based on the promise.
I think that's a great point. Sadly, it's possible that some of you may say, "I know that my salvation is all of God. I know it's all about him, but I don't know if I'm really saved because I'm not exactly sure what I need to do to be saved."
Right. If you don't know what you need to do to be saved, then you'll never be sure that you've done it.
Right.
But if you understand that it's a point in faith, you just have to believe for a second. Think of Abraham. He was looking in the night sky, and he was justified that night. He wasn't justified over a period of months or years. He was justified the night that he believed the promise. And the same way with you, the moment you believe in Jesus for eternal life, you have it, and you can be assured of it. But here's why I raise this point. John is talking about here in 1 John a different type of assurance. This is the assurance that you're living the Christian life in a way that is pleasing to God, in which you can have boldness when Jesus comes.
Yes.
That assurance is based on your actions.
Right.
And that's why you can be kind of shaky about it.
And that's why you need to look beyond your heart. Because your heart may condemn you, and condemn isn't talking here about heaven and hell. The idea is that the judgment seat of Christ, some of us are going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," and some are not. And we want to be one of those that hears, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well, we anticipate that by how we are living now.
Right. And it really seems like in Jesus' teaching, there's a threshold. And there comes a point in your Christian life where you've been faithful enough and you've abided enough where you kind of pass that threshold and you do hear the "well done, good and faithful servant," but your rewards will be different. And I'm thinking about the parable of the minas, where the guy who gets 5 cities and the guy who gets 10 cities are both pleasing to the Lord. They both get rewarded.
Right.
So they both must have passed the threshold to hear "well done, good and faithful servant," but the other guy doesn't.
Right.
The other servant is considered a wicked servant.
Right. Luke 19:16 through 26, I believe, looks at the judgment seat of Christ, and it's as you describe. Yes, it seems to me that we need to recognize that there is a threshold. Paul would call it becoming a spiritual person or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, in order to hear that, we must endure. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:12, "If we endure, we shall also reign with him." Or closer to home, 1 John 2:28, "My little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink back in shame at his coming." We must abide until death or the rapture in order to hear that. So let's say you and I faithfully serve Christ for 30, 40, 50 years, and then the last year we fall away and we're not confessing Christ, we're not going to church, we're not walking with God.
Right.
We'd miss out on ruling with Christ. We'd miss out on the "well done, good and faithful servant," even though we've laid up a lot of treasure, and you can't lose that.
Mm-hmm.
But what we would lose out on are a lot of the things which are special rewards which go to the overcomers. And we've talked about that in other episodes. But the point is, what John's anticipating here is a believer who is walking in the truth now and is ideally going to abide in that until Christ comes.
And so that person can have confidence. Now, they won't know exactly how rewardable their life is going to be.
Right.
But they can have confidence that they've passed that threshold.
They're not living like Cain.
Right.
They're living to some degree like Christ. They're laying down their lives for the brethren.
Right. And that then changes your prayer life, which is the point you're raising before.
Right.
When you know that you're walking in the light, when you know that you have crossed that threshold, that you're living a life pleasing to God, that changes your prayer life completely because now you have confidence in several different areas of life, including when you approach God in prayer.
Right. Absolutely.
That's in verse 22, right?
Right.
And whatever we ask, we receive from him. So is this blab it and grab it theology? Is this name it and claim it?
No, not quite. What this is, as we pray according to his will, Jesus said that, then we will gain our requests. And so it seems to me the person who's pleasing to God is going to pray appropriately.
Right. So you're not going to be praying for very carnal things.
Right.
You're praying for spiritual. I mean, you're in tune with God, and so you're asking for the right things.
The Spirit of God guides us. Now, I'm not charismatic, but I do believe the Spirit of God is at work within our lives, and he's guiding us on how to pray. Romans chapter 8 talks about that the Spirit's interceding for us with groanings too deep for words.
And then in verse 23, he basically says, this is the commandment, and it really has two parts. The first is that we need to believe in Jesus Christ and love one another.
Are the two paramount points. That's why people often say we're called to persevere in faith and good works. Well, here's the faith part. We continue to believe in Jesus Christ. He's our Savior. He's the one who died for us, rose again, is coming again. And we need to continue to be one who is loving one another as he gave commandment. And so these two work hand in hand. As I continue to focus on the cross and Christ, then that leads me to be loving, and that means I anticipate one day having confidence before Christ when he comes.
Thank you, Bob and Sean, for that great encouragement. What a thought that we can have both assurance of our eternal life, but also confidence in our sanctification. Well, maybe this is new to you. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on this subject. If that's the case, we have all kinds of free resources on our website, faithalone.org. In fact, I'd like to encourage you to come visit us at faithalone.org because we have a featured resource right now that is free to download. Head over to the site, faithalone.org, go to resources, and then find the section called free ebook. The book is called Epistles of John by Zane Hodges. This great little commentary will help you understand the Epistles of John. It's going to really help you out. In addition to this, we have other resources like our free print magazine, our videos, our podcasts, our blog posts. You can even find information about upcoming events that might be happening in your neck of the woods. Maybe you'd like to partner with us in this ministry. You can give a tax-deductible gift to our ministry to help us continue doing the work that we're doing. Maybe you've got questions or comments. Reach us at radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the broadcast, we're going to learn about God's Spirit and our fellowship. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.